showtime, folks!
Is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, and I was sending it for someone.
And a happy Tuesday to all, and welcome into another edition of Overtime, clocking in after 6 o'clock here on your Tuesday evening, live at the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm Tanner Carson. I'm joined by Tucker Holt up in the producer's perch, getting ready to have another fine edition of Overtime. We are going to be with you as usual up until 8 o'clock this evening. Tucker, what is up, my man?
Feeling good, feeling refreshed. It's not pouring rain today, so I didn't have to sprint into the studio and get soaking wet. So we're doing good. We're starting off on a better foot.
It was raining when I got here.
Oh, so I missed that.
I thought, well, that sucks. It's just another day of crappy weather we have to deal with. But it's a little better right now. As long as it's not actually, you know, thunderstorming pretty badly like it was while we were on air last night, I can deal with it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you could hear, like, the building was rumbling the entire show. I don't think you could hear it on the show, but it was, you could hear it was rough.
Oh, I could hear it. You could hear it.
Yeah.
Some rough stuff to deal with, so hopefully don't have to go through the same type of thing this evening here. Hope everyone's being careful out there. Regardless, man, a lot to get into all across, you know, not only different sports to get into, but, I mean, some news items to get to later on in general. Let's get some of these different pretty much all COVID-related items out of the way here. I want to start locally, as in the whole state of Tennessee here. So something we did not mention yesterday, and this goes for everyone in the state, Governor Bill Lee, he did extend his COVID-19 state of emergency executive order until August 29th. That sucks.
That's bad.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I didn't know it was still a thing because we were pretty much not, like, completely open back to normal, but from what you could tell, everything looked like it was going back to pre-pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, we almost had the old normal back.
Almost. We were so
close. Oh, so close.
But, and then everyone got sick again.
Pretty much. Pretty much. We got a little too excited.
Yeah, so I didn't even know it was still a thing. I didn't even know his executive order was still a thing. But apparently it is, and it has been extended to August 29th on the hills of the number of cases going up here, as they are pretty much all around the country, save for a few different states. So, yeah, that sucks. This is how it's going to impact sports here. So the TSSAA today issued the following statement from Executive Director Bernard Childress to its member schools. And the TSSAA Board of Control is set to meet tomorrow. So this was the memo sent out to all TSSAA members today. He said, yesterday the governor's office extended Tennessee's COVID-19 state of emergency until August 29th. The governor's prior order includes limitations and restrictions on contact sporting events and activities. While the governor's order is in place, member schools cannot have any competition or scrimmage with other schools and cannot have close contact activities during their fundamental practice in the sports of football, 7-on-7 football, girls soccer, wrestling, and basketball. Based on the extension of the governor's order, football and girls soccer cannot begin their seasons as originally scheduled. We are in the process of developing regular season and postseason options to present to the TSSAA Board of Control for their consideration. The board will ultimately make the decision as to how this will impact the postseason and if any adjustments can be made to regular season competition. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's not what I wanted to hear.
You hate it for the high school kids, and you especially hate it for communities all across the state when it comes to, I know, girls soccer, and you have to consider maybe like other fall sports like volleyball and cross country in consideration too, but let's just be real here, football is the biggest thing when it comes to not only impacting the kids that, you know, play that, but it's also smaller communities.
Yeah.
That's a big deal all across this state. It's a big deal all across the country in a lot of states as well, which I'm sure similar states like Texas, Georgia, Florida, where it's worse, they'll be having to consider these same type of measures. So it's pretty much put your first 2 weeks, because high school football starts mid-August.
Yeah.
The regular season starts mid-August. That's put that on ice pretty much. And now the TSSAA is going to have to decide, do you just push back the regular season's length? Do you just might have to cancel like some games? It's really bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
It makes this seem more real, right? It might only be high school football, but this also makes you think, oh, crap. Got to think about college as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, the same argument we make for college football is the same for high school football.
They're all going to a school. They're all around.
They're all going to school. They're all
going to
be around the same people. And the argument for the impact it could have if there is no football. Football, for most high schools, I would say, is your biggest bringer in of money for the school, besides taxes, obviously, but they bring in the bucks.
And especially when you consider these 1 and 2A schools, like you're very small rural schools, man. And the loss of profit that would go on at their worst case scenario was no high school football season. That's rough. And I don't know what situation you're looking at to try to navigate this in high school football. And it may look like it's a difficult thing with college, but I think it's easier, right, to, if you have to get to this point, it's easier to look at college students and say, we're all putting you in the same dorm. You're each getting a dorm room to yourself, and you're going to have to take your classes online and remotely, and you can't be doing any of these extracurricular activities for this fall. It's easier to tell college kids that. But it's like high school, it's, I mean, what do you do? I mean, not every high school across the state has the ability to have remote learning, which I know that's what they all had to do anyway, but how long do you keep that up at a consistent level and make sure high school kids are getting an education?
Yeah.
You can argue about how much an education really matters when it comes to elite-level college football and basketball players and how much the NCAA cares that they get the education, but you got to have a high school education, man.
Yeah,
you can't get around that.
I mean, there are schools that, you know, I've been – there's a school over in Granger County. It's not Granger High School, but there's a high school over there that's much smaller.
We're talking about Washburn?
Yeah. Washburn High School. I mean, I've not been over in Washburn in a long time, and they don't really have a football team and stuff like that. But you don't hardly have cell service and stuff over there. Internet's hard to get over there. I don't know how. I mean, and I'm not just talking about that school. I'm sure there's schools all over the state the exact same way in small rural areas. How do you do that? I mean, sure it's possible. I'm sure, you know, they can do something. But that's a hard thing to get past, to get to those kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big jump here. So what you're looking at now with, I think your most likely conclusion when it comes to this state in high school football, they're going to play some type of condensed season, most likely.
I would think so. I mean, I think there'll be some sort of football played. I don't have that answer.
Would it be easier since, you know, that isn't one of the biggest arguments about the likelihood of playing college football in the spring is the fact that you have so many college football players not wanting to risk injury and hurt their NFL stock. High school, yeah, you're not going to the NFL right out of high school.
You want
to
play football.
Wouldn't it be much easier to do maybe a spring football season for high school, starting like mid-February?
God, that... Well, then...
It's like the reverse of playing in the fall, right? You go from when it's like, you start out when it's really hot, and then you play till it's cold. You start when it's cold and play till it gets hot.
Yeah, I was just about to say, no, that wouldn't work, and then you said February, and I was like, well, okay, play in the cold, then finish in the heat. I don't know, though. I mean, yeah, you probably could do it.
Which might have to be condensed, too. I don't know if you can fit in a full, you know, 10-game regular season plus playoffs. You may also have to look at condensed playoffs, which would suck for some teams.
Be good for some teams.
It will be good for some teams.
Well, a condensed season would be good, not condensed playoffs.
Yeah. I don't know how they would manage that.
No, there's a lot of gears and things involved. Like, there's a lot of moving parts. You have so many schools, different levels, different places, tons of people. Because, I mean, there's no limit on, you know, there's no roster limit in high school. You can have 150 kids on a football mm-hmm. team if you have 150 kids that'll play.
And sometimes you have, like, 22.
You either have nobody or everybody. And I just don't know how you navigate this. And I'm glad we're not on that board, because I don't know what you do.
I'm glad we're not either, man. I'm glad that, we're obviously not in high school. We're not, and we're not parents of high schoolers either. That would be really weird.
Yeah, I would have had to have a kid at...
Yeah, it's kind of impossible.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much impossible. So I'm glad we don't have to worry about this a lot, but I hate it for him, man. And
yeah, it's awful.
I'm going to hate it more if what happens if this state of emergency is extended past the end of August. What happens if not all school systems are able to have kids back to school on time? Because here's the thing. Kids, and even up to high school age, they're at much lower risk of contracting this thing.
Yeah.
And especially having serious side effects, but it's not like they can't spread it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like those kids are the only people running around that school.
They can still pick it up and, like you mentioned, transfer it to a teacher,
yeah.
a custodian, someone in the office, their family.
Yeah, take it home. I mean, they're pretty much just, not always, I mean, I don't know the numbers or anything like that, but usually, so far, what we've seen, it's not younger people who are, you know, being, you know, hospitalized and stuff like this. I'm sure there's people who have. They're carriers. They get it, and then they don't feel the symptoms. They're asymptomatic, and then they're giving it to a lot of people. But that's with actually most people.
I feel like, do you feel like when it comes to all across the country, do you feel like high school and prep sports have a much tougher road to navigate than colleges do? And we know how tough it's going to be for you to have a normal as possible college season. I'm just thinking with what the factors you're dealing with high school, it's going to be tougher. It's going to be tougher for them to get a football season together.
Yeah, I think it would be easier for high schools, or it would be less impactful, which actually it's more impactful to the players themselves, but not as like a systemic thing, if you didn't have a season in the fall or even in the spring. Because it would just, the thought process, I'm not saying, you know, financially or, you know, all that stuff, but just the thought process, it's just high school football, mm-hmm. and they would just close it down.
Yeah.
And that's what I really hope doesn't happen, because there's a lot, I mean, that's,
either, man.
You only get 4 years of that. You don't get another year of eligibility in high school.
No.
So
yeah, that's stuff. Yeah, you can't get like a red shirt year in high school.
No, you don't.
That's taken away from you. That's taken away from you
forever.
Which is why I'm glad at least around here. I mean, not just around here, all across the country, they've been able to have actual graduation ceremonies.
Yeah,
I hate the thought of the fact that that was taken away from kids, but they eventually did get to have a graduation. That was good for them. But then mm-hmm. you talk about the flip side. The basketball players that were on teams that were going to state.
Yeah, they've already got robbed once.
I mean, they just got completely screwed.
Yeah.
So it just hurts worse because they're actual kids.
Yeah. And there's no red shirts, like we just said. Like it's gone. Once it's gone, once the season's over, it's done. If you were a senior last year and you were in the state tournament, that's it. That's all you get.
That's rough.
They didn't even get to the championship game, did they? It was still like a round away.
In basketball?
Yeah.
So the private division finished up, like Catholic and you're up like single A Division II school. They were able to play their championship game, I think, less than a week before everything shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So your public school divisions were still, like a week and a half, 2 weeks away.
Yeah, because I can't remember.
Yeah, they were like right there.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, the Granger girls, I mean, they were looking like they were going to mm-hmm. make a run for it, and then just nothing, done.
Didn't even get a chance.
So
that's another thing. That would be the worst if you didn't have a high school football season, period.
Yeah.
Not just talking about the programs that would have a chance to go deep in the playoffs, go to Cookeville and compete for a state championship. I'm even talking about the teams that suck, honestly. Because at least you're playing football.
There's a whole lot more sucky teams than there are great teams.
You played for Granger.
I played for an average team, and we still had fun. And it was some, you know, that was the best years
you
of
got,
my school.
You all and your boys in the locker room got to listen to Put On for My City and went out there and lost by 60. It was still fun, though.
We never lost by 60, all right? That's a funny
45,
joke.
45.
Yeah, we probably lost by 45 at some point.
Because didn't you have to... Did y'all play Alcoa?
No. Our
I know that you're not. I know it's not the district, but I didn't know if it was like.
No, our big teams that beat us up. Thankfully, right before when I was there,
did you get to play Greenville?
We played Greenville.
Oh no,
Greenville was in our conference.
Oh no,
every year. Oh, no. But after I graduated, guess who else got added into that conference?
I feel like I should know this. Tell me,
your state champion Elizabethan Cyclones.
Ouch.
So we had to play. I didn't have to. I had to play Greenville, but now they play Greenville and Elizabethton.
Ouch.
Yeah. And I think we travel to both of them in the same year. Like it's that. It's either they both come to us one year and then the next.
Yeah, and y'all are 4A. I feel like if I was Granger, I'd much rather be in the district with Anderson County, because at least there's beatable teams outside them. I think that's so weird. You know the district I'm talking about, right? It's Anderson County and like Chattanooga schools. It makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, we drive all the way up to, you know,
it's like
Elizabethton.
It's like West Virginia being in the Big 12.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same type of thing. Yeah, except you're not flying, but.
I mean, we used to be in there with, you know, like Gibbs and like West Green, South Green, you know, a little closer, not nearly as good as Greenville. It's not that way anymore.
I'm trying to think who Campbell County plays. They play some tough teams. They
I played against Campbell County some in like we did the 7-on-7 mm-hmm. stuff. Those were fun. Campbell County was good in the 7-on-7s.
They've been known for offense these past few years. They got to play like Fulton, which Fulton's not as elite as they were a few years ago. It's still tough. Powell, who's gotten better. They played some tough teams.
Yeah, talking about Fulton, I remember growing up, as we talked yesterday, I was a ball boy. Rutledge High School, which is now Granger High School, played Fulton in the playoffs.
How was that?
Played Fulton in the playoffs, and I remember it was like the biggest win of the season whenever they got to the locker room, and we were up 7-0 at halftime. We lost like 48-7.
You'll always remember that first half.
Oh, it was great.
And you see Fulton players on the other sideline. They has in the first half, not going to lie.
Yeah, they,
I remember a few years ago when Fulton had a really, really good team. They opened up the season, like, beating Bearden 84-0, beating Powell 83-3. It was the most ridiculous thing
I've
ever
seen.
Yeah, man,
those Fulton teams from, like, what, like 6 years ago, five mm-hmm. years ago?
Like 2014.
Yeah,
they were really,
they
really
were
good.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
I saw them play. I saw them play poor Union County.
Oh, that's not.
Me and my friends got bored one Friday night and said, let's go watch Fulton kill someone. That's what we did. We went over
and
there.
They did.
Every time they touched the ball, they scored. Almost.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it was when Granger played Union County. I can't imagine Fulton. Because we played, Union County used to be in our conference. I have I remember we played a game where the starters didn't take their helmets out for the second half because we were up like 48-0.
Tough.
Yeah. That was tough.
Before we get ahead to our first break, Tucker, I got a text from Hayden Wallen.
Oh.
Granger also had to play the mighty Sullivan South Rebels in conference every year. Hayden's alma mater.
Oh, yeah, I remember my senior year we shut them out.
Ooh.
At Sullivan South.
Hayden.
I'm pretty sure on their senior night.
I can't believe I'm getting to this point, but I'm about to look at the recent history of Granger versus Sullivan South. I want to see.
All I know is my senior year, we shut them out.
I want to see these results here. Let's hit this first break of the program. 865-546-8200 is your number to hop on here. 546-8200. A lot more to get into as we cruise along on your Tuesday. You're listening to Overtime. You know, it's ironic this Earl Sweatshirt beat, the opening organ, reminds you of baseball.
It does.
It's ironic because I was just going to mention here, no minor league baseball this year, officially. For the first time ever, there will be no minor league baseball. This is not a surprising announcement. it doesn't make it any better when the announcement is made, right? Because just like we were talking about the community aspect of what happens when there's no high school football, it's even a little worse when it comes to minor league teams because they employ a hell of a lot of people.
Thousands that
depend on that income, and now none of them are going to have it. And I'm not talking about players. I mean game day staff. I mean office and video production. It goes on and on. It's awful.
Yeah, there's so many levels to minor league baseball that, like, you know, like the NBA, whenever they shut down, players were like, yeah, we'll pay these people and blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's a ton of MLB players, but almost all of them would have to pitch in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many people. I mean, maybe, you know, you could have some guys from your MLB team take care of the, you know, the AAA, AA teams, but I don't think you can stretch all the way down to, you know, rookie ball.
No, you just run out of money at some
point. That's way too many mouths to feed. I mean, that sucks.
And, I mean, it's just like talking about high school football when you bring up no minor league baseball, because when you have, what, 30 MLB teams and they're all in large cities, well, you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of minor league teams from all the way down to, like, your rookie short season all the way up to your big AAA clubs like out in Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, they're spread out in a diverse array of either, like I just mentioned, the Nashville Sounds, large metropolitan areas, or – hell, you go up the road to like those teams around the tribe, like Greenville.
Yeah, the Greenville Reds.
Yeah, and
yeah, they play in a college. They don't have their own stadium. They play in a college stadium.
Yeah,
actually, I'm pretty sure college plays in the Greenville.
Their stadium.
Yeah, because it's a really nice stadium.
Either way, they're not. It's not like you're dealing with Yankee Stadium on your hands.
No, and you're definitely not. I mean, there's nothing around there. I mean, you park at the campus, and around that campus is a Taco Bell like a mile away.
Yeah,
it's
you're not wrong.
It's a very small area.
Good
so
Lord.
I just don't, and I assume, I mean, it would be crazy to think otherwise. These players aren't going to be getting paid probably anything. I mean, they've been getting a little bit of money throughout quarantine, but I don't know if that'll keep going.
I don't know how much money do they have to keep giving them a stipend, keep giving them $400 a week. That doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking about everyone,
yeah,
runs out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to run out, and it's just another sad consequence of what's been going on in the world. So we're not going to be hearing about Smokies games.
Yeah, I mean, not being able to
we've
go.
We've never had to deal with that. I love going out to Kodak.
Yeah, I don't think I've missed I've missed many games, but I've not missed like a baseball season where I didn't go and watch at least one or two. I mean, I'm always making the trip up there to Old Smoky Stadium. It's a great time. It's a staple of this area.
You already had a bunch of minor league teams on the chopping block before mm-hmm. this pandemic started anyway.
Yeah, they cut over like 1,000 people.
What is the minor league situation going to look like next year? Smokies are going to be fine.
Smokies will be fine.
Smokies will be fine. I hate it for the people that won't be able to get money through them this year, working for them at all levels of that facility.
Yeah.
But they're part of the Chicago Cubs organization. The organization will be fine. I'm sure
they're high enough; they'll be just fine.
I'm sure the people that you know can't work for them this summer and they want the jobs back next year, they can get them as well.
And there's plenty of prospects around Sevierville.
Buddy, I'm still worrying about your smaller clubs. And I know I know they're all part of big organizations, but if we talk about the financial hit, are all these clubs going to be able to operate the same next year? I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know.
If all of them can, I'm not sure.
Do you know how many there are in the entire
every
country?
Class?
All minor league teams. It's a big number.
It's under 1,000, right?
It's under 1,000, yeah. It's under 500, I'll tell you that.
423.
You went a little high.
379.
261.
Okay.
That's a lot of baseball
teams.
That's
still a lot. 261 teams in 50 states. It's a whole lot.
I mean, you go, you know, even if you just fielded a team of 9, which is obviously not what you do, you would literally have 2,349 just players, not counting coaches, people who work at the stadiums.
We've been using the word a whole lot, right, Tucker? Ecosystem.
Ecosystem.
This is the minor league ecosystem and thousands being impacted.
Yeah.
Throughout all of this here. I keep getting texts from Hayden Wallen here. So first and foremost, let's backtrack a little bit. I did check the record, so he's just making sure I mentioned this too. Hayden says, I went 2-0 against Granger my junior and senior years. They did shut us out 18-0 my freshman year, but we lost our quarterback in the third game of the season, 2015 and 2016. So that would be the reason for the losses both years.
Reason or excuse?
Ooh. He did get y'all his upperclassmen years.
He didn't get me. Hey, I wouldn't let that happen to me.
So was there a chance y'all were on the field at the same time?
If he played his freshman year, yeah. I mean, I played my senior year, I played quite a bit.
Hayden got time in that game as a freshman.
He'll probably let you know.
That's what I'm wondering.
That was a good, well, it wasn't a good game for, I guess, the score, but like it was an electric game. I will say the Sullivan South crowd and student section were into that game at the start.
He also, so this is about your Tri-Cities area's teams, the Appalachian League.
Yeah.
Hayden texted and said, the Appalachian League was scheduled to be cut after this year, so not being able to play this year ends the franchises.
Oh.
That includes the Greenville Reds, Kingsport Mets, Bristol Pirates, Johnson City Cardinals, etc. Oh my gosh, that's
terrible. So it's just
terrible.
A final nail in the coffin.
God, that's awful.
If they could have done well and had a season, maybe. Probably not, but maybe.
I think the pandemic makes it an easier excuse for teams of that stature to be axed. I'm just still worrying about everyone else when it comes to the employees. It just sucks, man. It just sucks. They're one of the many casualties.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of those in all types of business / sports due to the good old Rona.
Well, let's go ahead and keep things pessimistic, shall we? Let's go over to the NBA here. So Adam Silver, I say pessimistic, even though Adam Silver says he remains, quote, pretty confident that the NBA's plan to safely resume play is going to be fine. He's still confident in it. But he admits that a spread in the NBA community of coronavirus could bring the league to a halt again. This on the heels of all the teams doing their testing. You're having a lot of pauses back. You're already having many players who have either, A, gotten the virus and have already said they're going to opt out of the restart, or they just want to avoid it altogether and they're opting out. That's, you had DeAndre Jordan get the virus. He's not going to come back. Spencer Dinwiddie of the Nets is probably...
DeAndre Jordan's probably your biggest name, right? Right.
We have Jokic over in Serbia.
Jokic, but has he said he's not playing?
He's not said that, though.
Yes. I mean, DeAndre Jordan's the biggest name, I think, that I've heard that's saying I'm not going to be there, that has an option to be there.
In which there's plenty of... You have a big pool of free agents you can sign.
Yeah, JR just got signed.
You know, no Avery Bradley for the Lakers. You know, that's fine. We'll just wake up J.R. Smith. He's got bottles of Hennessy all over his room.
He's in a cryogenic vat of Hennessy, and he just steps out without a shirt on, throws a three from 47,000 feet away, and bangs it, and he's ready to go.
This would be a very interesting year if J.R. Smith can win another ring with the Lakers, get another ring with LeBron. You know,
I'm for it.
After he's not playing the NBA since 2018, you know, he kicked that dude's ass a few months ago. Or was it like last
time? Oh, yeah.
Trying to mess with his car.
Yeah,
he beat
the crap out of that guy. That was awesome. Man, also, him getting signed put a lot of J.R. Smith just awesome highlights on the timeline on Twitter. Like, when he was hot, J.R. was fun to watch. And then sometimes he wasn't so hot when he, like, forgets the score and the clock and loses
them. Is that the greatest, like, in-game blooper in NBA history?
Ugh.
It's pretty damn funny.
I mean, I'm a Warriors fan. I was watching that, and even when he started, I was like, what is he doing?
Just him squinting like, and LeBron yelling out like,
oh my God. I've never laughed so hard. Because like we were losing that game. That game one was, it was going to be an L for the Warriors. Nope, not if JR has anything to do with it. Shoo. But hopefully he's got his eyesight fixed or he can see the clock now.
Or he's been off the Henny for a little bit.
Maybe.
Or maybe he's better on the Henny.
Yeah, I think you give him 5 or 6 shots of Hennessy, he's hitting 8 threes in a game.
You know, the NBA's old slogan used to be anything is possible. Well, J.R. Smith told us that anything is possible.
Anything is possible, yeah.
I kind of like the dude for like his meme ability.
Oh yeah, he's so good. After the finals, the parade, he never put a shirt on. The guy was partying 24/7.
So that's why I'm hoping this NBA restart goes according to plan, so we can see some JR out there.
I think that's why everyone will be watching, just for JR Smith.
Back to Silver though, and I know we can keep going about JR here, but this is more inside what Silver said. We're still like exactly a month away from when the regular season is supposed to restart down there in Disney World. So we still got a while to go with this thing here. Adam Silver says, so he was talking to Time 100 Talks with Time Magazine. He was asked if there's any chance the NBA doesn't go to Orlando as planned due to the surge in coronavirus cases, or if it is full steam ahead to resume play at the end of July. Silver responded and said, never full steam ahead no matter what. One thing we are learning about this virus is much is unpredictable, and we and our players together with their union look at the data on a daily basis. If there were something to change that was outside of the scope of what we are playing for, certainly we would revisit our plans. We are testing daily. We haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and see spread in our community, that would, of course, be a cause to stop as well.
Well, I mean, is he saying, I like that line of, we are learning that this virus is unpredictable.
We've known that.
We've known that, Adam.
We have known for a while.
For just a bit. Maybe 3 months.
Maybe he didn't think about the fact that we've known this is not predictable when he said that. Maybe he's just saying, like, no duh.
Yeah.
Some no duh things. I'm someone, Tucker, who, when we talk about college football's chances to restart, I'm still pretty confident we'll see football played in college in some fashion this year. I'm more confident that the NBA is going to get to play. I think they're at least going to get that season restarted. Mm-hmm. The big question is, right, and this is kind of what Silver's talking about, what happens if there's a big spread in Orlando despite all the rigorous measures they're going to take? And Stephen A. Smith, even today, you know what his concern is, right?
Yeah, I've seen that.
He's concerned that they're going to be sneaking out in Disney World to, get it on.
Yeah.
With some of their hookups, you know.
As he called it recreational time. He said he gives them 3 weeks before someone breaks
the bubble. It would be Harden. It would be James Harden.
It would be Harden.
It absolutely would.
I'm trying to think of who else, but I don't...
Remember when the Clippers and Rockets almost got into that fight after the game? There's that secret tunnel in the Staples Center. There's going to be a secret tunnel out of Disney World to find some prostitutes, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so secret to the people there, but we don't know about it. It's a well-used
Hey, man,
tunnel.
Disney World probably has some dark secrets.
Oh, yeah.
They have some secret chambers that we are unaware of.
For sure. I mean,
Walt
Disney wasn't...
It's the Magic Kingdom for a reason.
Walt Disney wasn't that great of a guy.
Yeah, that's true.
And his head is frozen under Disney World.
Just waiting to be reanimated.
People forget that. He actually may be one of the announcers at the finals.
It's going to be like Futurama, just the heads.
Yeah,
it's in
a vat. Yeah. Just put a mic in front of him.
It's like, Walt, just call the action, please. Don't say anything about the Jewish population, please.
And he's like, well, I'm out.
See ya.
What is this, basketball? Ugh, I'm good. Freeze me again.
I just had some awful thoughts. I'm not going to say them on air here, but
you can't do that.
Or
Walt Disney would say them though.
How confident are we right now that the NBA is going to get this all done without a stoppage? I don't think they're going to have some cases. That's just going to happen down there. All they're trying to do is prevent a big spike, like half a team getting this virus or this spreading to multiple teams. Because that's a doomsday scenario. Keep in mind, they stopped everything for one player.
Yeah.
They stopped everything for one player. With what we know more about this virus, one player wouldn't be enough to stop it this time.
No.
But what's to stop this from turning into like 8 players? What's to stop the whole James Harden going out and partying in secret and bringing back something to all the Rockets?
I think if you can get in the bubble, just get everybody clean, have them tested, and just get them in there.
Drink some bleach.
Get the bleach in the Gatorade bottles, and we'll be fine. Because, I mean, if nobody in the bubble has been exposed or has it and is testing negative, if nobody breaks the bubble, it should be fine.
That's the thing, though. You are talking about adults with a lot of money, and some of them...
With a lot of money on the line, though. So you got to see where they're, you know...
Yeah, hormones, though. They make you think. Things you shouldn't be thinking.
Well, they...
James Harden might be, I hate how we keep using him as an example, but he
But he went to the club before a playoff game.
He would be the one, though.
Yeah.
If one of these players thinks with their other head versus, you know,
yeah.
their actual head, and, you know...
Then they're out. Then they're out. Then they're out. Have just high security, cover every corner of the bubble. Somebody comes out. If they cross a laser beam, then they are then declared out and they're done.
Scale 1 to 10, how confident are you they can play this entire thing in Orlando without a stoppage?
If they get in the bubble, they'll play it. They'll finish it. I don't think anybody's stupid enough to break
the bubble. So 1 out of 10, what are you thinking right now?
9.
I think that's fair.
I mean, how do you react as a team owner or a coach if your guy breaks the bubble? If he's not
happily.
If he's not LeBron James, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, you know, these
Kawhi, like that, yeah.
they're cut. They're done. They're traded or they're cut. Unless yeah. they are irreplaceable as those guys, Giannis.
Should the NBA threaten penalties?
Yes, yes.
I think they should threaten some fines.
You get fined, suspended for the next season.
You can't have people thinking this is a joke when you're trying to make sure no one breaks the bubble. That's a serious thing if you're going to go with that method.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you need people to take this seriously. So, yeah, you bring punishment along with it, and I think that will help maintain the bubble.
Find them. Straight cash, homie.
That's right.
That's what you do, Adam. 865-546-8200 is our number if you would like to join the program. 546-8200 going to wrap up hour number one of overtime after this. Wrapping up the first hour of overtime here on your Tuesday evening. Our Trey Wallace sent out a tweet last night and got a lot of the fan base talking, Tucker. And it wasn't even Trey interviewing anyone. It was just,
no.
He was quoting, so Josh Palmer and Trey Smith. Were there any other players who were on this podcast episode, or was it just these two?
I'm not sure. Those are the only two quoted.
They were at least two of the players who went on the Slice podcast, which the UT Athletics Department does. Is it VFL Films who runs it technically?
I would think so, yeah.
So it's that department. They've been putting out good episodes throughout all of this, really insightful interviews.
Very good.
That really no one else besides the UT Athletic Department can get.
Pretty much.
So yay for them, I guess, coming right from the source. But it's been very insightful.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Tennessee, of course, not been shying away from supporting its players during this last month plus in the wake of the murder of George Floyd, and you've had college football players from across the country using their voices to just speak up, mm-hmm. up about what they believe in, and with most of them being black men, it's also something that is, of course, very important to them, you know, in this movement, and Josh Palmer, Trey Smith, talking on the Slice podcast, just about everything. I need to go back and listen to all of it to get more of the context, but here's the quote our boy Trey Wallace sent out, though. They got some people talking. Josh Palmer said on the Slice, "At this point, any fans out there, if you guys don't support us as human beings, don't come to the games, because I'd rather have nobody in the stands than a bunch of fakes who pretend to like us because we entertain them." Trey Smith concurs, saying, "I second that 100%. And that got some people...
I don't see that why that would get people stirring, though.
Here's what Trey Smith added on to this, by the way. "At the end of the day, I am not here for your simple amusement and entertainment. I am also a human being. I can think. I am educated. I can speak. I speak well. I am still a person. At the end of the day, we can't remain muzzled up." And got some people upset.
I mean, it's the same crowd of shut up and dribble.
Yeah, I think for the most part, what got people maybe confused and on the defensive is the part about if you, Palmer's exact quote was, if you don't support us as human beings, some fans are saying, wait, how do I not support you as a human being? I think when just trying to understand why people might be mad other than the people who just don't get it at this point,
yeah.
I think some fans might see that particular line and think, how do I not support you as a human being? That's what some people are probably having a question of, but I get what Palmer's saying, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just
yeah.
trying to understand what maybe some people don't have the context of. It's, you might be thinking, it's like, me as a fan, I come to these games, you know, I support you on the field and all that stuff, and, you know, I'm not, again, I'm trying to understand it. It's like, are some fans thinking when he says that, that means some fans only see him as an entertainment product on the field and someone who doesn't have like an actual opinions on things and someone who doesn't exist outside of football? I'm just trying to understand.
I think it has something to do with, sure, you're a fan of me and you support me while I'm playing football, but you do not support the idea of me and people like me being treated equally as humans. You do not support me in that arena. I'm trying to be treated on the same level as everybody else, yet you only support me whenever I'm playing football and it's your entertainment.
I think a lot of fans also see the comments from the players. And by the way, here's the list of the people who are on the podcast. So you had Trey Smith, Josh Palmer. You had Trayvon Flowers. I'm sorry, no, Joshua Palmer. It is Joshua Palmer because I saw his at. It's at his Flower City's own.
Oh.
I thought that was Trayvon Flowers for a second. I'm like, does he even still play for us?
I don't know.
I'm sure he does. Anyway, it's Trey Smith, Josh Palmer, Lante Taylor. You have, who is this right here? You have Grant Furking, who is a football, I assume he's like a, oh, he's the walk-on who's like the CEO of like his own little startup company.
Oh, okay.
You heard about that, right? That's who that is.
I heard
is.
A little bit, yeah.
And you also had T. Martin as well.
Oh, wow. So that's a good podcast.
You had a very, not only players, you had a coach as well.
Good.
Someone who we hold dear here.
Very
T. Martin.
Dear, yes.
So they were all on that podcast. So after some fans either still were up in arms just because they still don't get it, or maybe they misunderstood what they were trying to say, Trey Smith, I did send out a couple of tweets here. He said, Vol Nation was one of the biggest influences in me making my decision to come to the University of Tennessee, one of the hungriest, most tenacious, and most passionate fan bases I've ever been around. I can't think of another fan base as loyal as well. I've grown up in Tennessee all my life. I love this state. It's my home. It's where I'd like to remain, but we must address the issues that we still see. When Josh Palmer and I made those statements, we were not attacking our blood fan base. Just trying to clear it up. And nothing about that, as I saw, was attacking the fan base.
No, it's one of those situations where if you are offended by what he's saying, and if, you know, if it doesn't meet the criteria, if you think you do not fit that criteria and you don't, he's not speaking to you. He's not talking about you. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about 98% of our fan base.
Yeah. It's one of those things where all I gotta do is think of the context and realize he's not painting with a broad brush.
No.
He's talking about specific people, which, as we do know, really does make up the minority.
Yeah.
Of the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing someone treating a college player as a human being, it's as simple as, I believe you're allowed to have opinions, and I believe that you shouldn't be muzzled for
yeah.
speaking up about whatever. That's not, you shouldn't conflate that with, oh, that must mean I, as a fan, must support the Black Lives Matter organization. Not the movement, the organization, which has been tied to some Marxist groups, things like that. There's a difference in the saying, right?
Yes. And
versus you get into specific political organizations. At the root of everything, it's a human rights thing we're dealing with, right?
Yeah, it's very everything. Clearly, this isn't political. It's a human mm-hmm. issue.
It's as simple as looking at athletes and realizing that, hey, they're a member of this nation just like I am.
Yes.
They vote just like we, that they have the right to speak their mind, they have the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as simple as recognizing that, I think.
And a lot of people I've seen say, you know, this is a new trend or this is a new thing of them being vocal and stuff like that, and that it has to do with attention and things of that nature. I don't have specific people. This was just scrolling my timeline. I saw some people saying things like that, you know, oh, they weren't doing this in the past. This is just because it's popular right now. Well, it has a lot to do with the fact that there's been this awakening of, oh, we do have this power. We do have this platform, and we can speak out. And you're starting to see that kind of spread across the entire country, and it's good. Like we've said on here before, it's an exercise of your First Amendment rights. They are realizing the power that they hold.
So I'm going to end the hour with this. So from our own Trey Wallace's tweet, it spawned this reply, which spawned a reply from Alec Kamara.
I love it.
The best exchange I've seen on this website today. Do reply to Trey's tweet saying these college kids need to leave politics out of sports. And again, that's the root problem. It's not
politics.
It's really not politics
at all.
Now some might speak up on like actual political stuff, but again, at the root of it, it's human rights.
Yep.
Shouldn't be a political thing.
It's not.
So, dude tweets, these college kids need to leave politics out of sports and just play ball. They're going to make half the fans mad no matter what stance they take. Just play ball.
Shut up and dribble.
Alvin Kamara replies, no. And the ones that are mad at humans that play football for having an opinion on something other than football, can Rocky top they ass out of Neyland on the third Saturday in October for all I care? At Trey Smith, y'all keep speaking your minds. You can Rocky Top your ass out of Neyland.
That was so good. I quote tweeted that and just said, King.
That's pretty good.
I love Alvin so
much. Alvin Kamara, pretty damn good at the internet. In addition to being good at football.
A master at the internet and even higher than a master in football.
So good.
So good.
Rocky Top your ass on.
I love him so much.
That's pretty damn funny. All right, hour number one's done. Hour two of overtime's coming up after this break here. Stick with us.
Jesus loves you.